We read the last two verses in Genesis chapter 18 this morning. It's a very familiar chapter if you've read the book of Genesis very much. It tells the story of God and two angels coming to visit with Abraham and Sarah. They were good hosts because when these three approached, they made a meal for them. And it was at that visit that God restates the promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they're going to have a child. Now, again, they were both up in years, so old, in fact, that they thought it was impossible for them to have a child, even though God had promised them one. And Sarah was in the tent and overheard God talking to Abraham, and the Bible says that she laughed. And, of course, God heard her laugh and said to Abraham, "What's the matter with Sarah? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And, of course, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord got the last laugh, and they named that little boy Isaac, which means laughter, because they both thought it was impossible for them to have a child. And in verse 17, after they talk about the child, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that things which I do? He said Abraham's going to be the father of a great nation. All nations in the earth are going to be blessed through him. He's going to command his children and his household to keep my way. And so God said, I'm going to tell him why I'm here. I'm going to tell him why I've come to this particular place at this particular time. And so God talked to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I've heard what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I've come down to see if what I've heard is really true. And if it's really true, my plan is to destroy those cities. Of course, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is the sin that bears the name of one of those cities, sodomy. Their sin was homosexuality. And by the way, let me just say, it is a sin. It's not an orientation. It's not a way people are born. It's a decision, a wicked decision that people make. And we need to pray for them. God can forgive them of that sin. God can save them from that sin if they'll turn back to God. And so God said, this sin is an abomination to me. I'm going to go see if it's true. And if it's true, I'm going to destroy those two cities. Now, Abraham had a nephew. His nephew Lot was living in the city of Sodom. And he loved his nephew. And so he began to talk to God about a way to save his nephew. And he said, God, there may be righteous people. Even though that city is a city of sin, there may be some righteous people that live in Sodom. And surely the God of righteousness would not destroy righteous people with the wicked people. And Abraham said, God, what if you find 50 righteous people in Sodom? Won't you spare the city for the sake of those 50? And God said, yes, I will. If I go down to Sodom and I find 50 righteous people in that city, I'll spare the city. Abraham thought, well, there might not be 50, so he goes back to God and said, well, what if there's only 5 missing? What if there's only 45 righteous people? Surely the God that's righteous, the God that does right, surely he won't destroy the city if there's 45 righteous people. And God said, no, you're right, Abraham. If I find 45 righteous people, I'll spare the city. Abraham goes on, and I got to tell you the story quickly to get to my message this morning. Abraham said, well, if there's only 40? What if there's only 40 righteous people in Sodom? Surely you'll spare the city for 40. And God said, yes, I will. If I find 40, I'll spare that city. And Abraham says, what if there's only 30? God says, if I find 30, I'll spare the city. Abraham says, well, what if there's only 20? God says, if I find 20, I'll spare the city. And Abraham said, God, I'm only going to ask one more thing. After this, I won't ask anything else. Abraham's like us. We say that a lot in our prayers. One more thing, God. If you give me this, I won't ask anything else. Abraham said, what if there's only 10? What if there's only 10 righteous people in Sodom? Would you spare that city for the sake of those 10 righteous people? And God said, Abraham, yes, I will. If I find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare that city. And then the Bible says that God went his way and Abraham returned to his place. Just 10. Just 10. That's all there needed to be in the city of Sodom for that city to be spared. Just 10. You know, by the way, righteous people still hold back the judgment of God on this earth. The Bible compares Christians to salt. Salt adds flavor, but salt is also a preservative. And the righteousness of God's people put a shield up and spare the judgment of God on this earth. I wonder what number God has in mind for our country. I wonder if God has any mind, in his mind, a number that says, hey, if the number of righteous people in the United States of America falls below this number that I have in my mind, I'm going to destroy that nation just like I destroyed the city of Sodom. I wonder if he has a number in mind for the state of Michigan that says, hey, if the number of righteous people in Michigan fall below this number that I have in my mind, I'm going to destroy that state. I wonder if there's a number that he has in mind for the city of Clio and the surrounding area, where God says, hey, if the number of righteous people in that area of Michigan falls below this number, I'm going to destroy that city. I wonder if God might have a number in mind for even our church that says, if the number of righteous people in Fellowship Baptist Church fall below this number that I have in my mind, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to just wipe it off the face of the earth. And by the way, God still has the power to do any of those things. If God wanted to, he could destroy the United States of America. If God wanted to, he could have Michigan fall into the Great Lakes. Everybody's worried about California falling into the Pacific. Well, you know, God still has the power. If he wanted to eliminate this mitten-shaped state that we live in, he could destroy it. If he wanted to destroy a city, he could destroy a city. And I just wonder if God has in his mind a number of righteous people that he's looking for, that he said, if I can find that number of righteous people, I'll let them go on. I'll let them continue to exist. I have 3 points I want to make this morning, and then I have another message I want to preach after that. So I'll still be done at the normal time. Point number one, whatever that number is, and I don't know what it is in any of those cases, whatever that number is, it's a reachable number. It was just 10 for the city of Sodom. I want to remind you this morning, it should have been easy for God to find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, because a righteous man, Lot, lived there. The Bible says Lot vexed his righteous soul living in the city of Sodom. So Lot was a righteous man. And it should have been easy for God to come to the city of Sodom and find 10 righteous people, Lot and 9 others, that Lot had influenced for the Lord. Most Bible scholars think there were about 10,000 people that lived in the city of Sodom. Lot lived there for 18 years. And he was a man of influence in that city. The Bible tells the account of a time that a people came and took the city of Sodom captive. And Abraham armed his servants and went after that people and destroyed that people and brought all the people of Sodom back to their homes. And as a result of Uncle Abraham saving the city of Sodom, Lot got a position of influence in the city. We read about him sitting in the gate where the elders of the city sat and ruled the city. And so for 18 years, this righteous man who had influence among this 10,000 people should have been able to influence 9 of them, should have been able to win 9 of them to the Lord. All God needed was just 10. Just 10. And it should have been easy for God to come to that city and find Lot and 9 other people in that city where he had influence that were righteous. It should have been easy because Lot had people that worked for him that were a part of his household. In that story where it says that Abraham armed his servants, the Bible says he armed 318 of them. Now, the reason that Abraham and Lot had to split up in the first place was the land couldn't contain both their households. In other words, they had so many servants and so many animals that they had to separate so that their animals had grass to eat and water to drink. And if Abraham had 318 servants that he could arm and go and fight this battle, I'm certain that Lot had at least 100. 100 people that worked for Lot. 100 people that called him master. 100 people that he was around every single day. Surely, in that 100 people that worked for Lot, there were 9 of them that Lot could have, that righteous man Lot could have influenced for God. Certainly, in that 100 people that called Lot master, there were 9 of them that would have been righteous. It should have been easy for God to find just 10. Most people think that Lot had 5 daughters in his family. 3 of them married. 2 at home, still single. Do the math with me. 3 married daughters, 3 sons-in-law, 2 unmarried daughters, Lot and Mrs. Lot. How many is that? 10. 10 in his family. 10, just his kids and his sons-in-law. God just needed 10, just 10, to save the city. Lot surely had influence with his family. Surely Lot talked to his children about the Lord. Surely Lot talked to his sons-in-law about the Lord. Surely he could have influenced them for God. Surely he could have brought them to righteousness in God. It should have been easy for God to go to the city of Sodom and find 10 people. But he got to the city of Sodom and he only found 3. 3. I mean, the angels pulled Lot and his wife and his 2 single daughters out of the city. And Mrs. Lot turned around and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. So there were 3 righteous people that God spared. Lot didn't do what he was supposed to do. He didn't reach his city. He didn't reach his household. He didn't reach his family. And I don't know what number God has in mind for the United States of America. I don't know what number he has in mind for Michigan. I don't know what number he has in mind for Clio. I don't know what number he has in mind for my family and for your family. But I know this, it's a reachable number. Amen. Nothing's impossible for God, but God doesn't expect us to do the impossible. He expects us to do our best, like we talked about in Sunday school. He expects us to reach those that are around us. It should have been easy for God to go to Sodom and find just 10 righteous people. Number 2, Lot did not know when judgment was coming. He had no warning that God and the angels were coming. He had no warning that God was going to go to Sodom and see their sin. I mean, he was living his life day to day. I mean, he went about his business day to day. He lived his normal life. He sat in the gate. He judged matters that came before the city council. He worked at whatever job he had. He took care of things that he had to take care of. He had no idea that these 2 men were going to come in and they were going to pull his family out and destroy the city. And here's what I'm saying. We cannot wait till the judgment of God starts to fall to start living for Jesus, to start telling people about Jesus. If we're going to tell people about Jesus, if we're going to tell them about God, we need to do it now. If we're going to reach people in our country and in our state and in our city, it can't be tomorrow's job. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We don't know when judgment's coming. We don't know when God's going to return and call us out of this world. And so if we're going to witness to people, if we're going to tell people about Jesus, we need to do it now. If we're going to reach our city, we need to do it now. If we're going to reach our neighborhood, we need to do it now. If we're going to reach our family, we need to do it now. I was talking to a dad a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about one of his daughters. And he says, I just don't know how to witness to my daughter. I don't know how to communicate. And I asked him, do you love your daughter? Oh, I love my daughter. I said, tell her about Jesus. He says, I don't want to offend her. I said, you're her father. You have the right to offend her. And you have the responsibility as a dad to tell her about Jesus Christ. I got a call from him Friday night. He said, preacher, I talked to my daughter. She got saved last night. I said, hallelujah. See there, you need to do it. I'm going to kick this thing. It's no good anyway. Listen. If we're going to tell our country, if we're going to tell our state, if we're going to tell our city, if we're going to tell our household about Jesus, we need to do it now. We don't know when the judgment's coming. Number 3, quickly, Lot had to do it. Lot had to do it. He was the one that knew God. He was the one that was righteous. He was the one that heard the promises that God made to his uncle Abraham. He was the one that saw Abraham exercise that faith to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to that place that God was going to show him. He was the one that heard God promise Abraham, hey, you're going to have so many descendants. If you can count the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the beach, you'll know how many descendants you're going to have. Lot's the one that heard that. Nobody else in the city heard that. A city of Sodom heard that. His wife didn't hear that. His kids didn't hear that. Lot heard that. He's the one that saw how God blessed Abraham because of his obedience. He was the one that was blessed himself because he was around his uncle. It wasn't somebody else's job. It was Lot's job. He had the responsibility to tell the people in his city, the people in his household, the people in his family about God. And that's our job. It's not somebody else's job. It's our job. If our family's going to find out about Christ, we're the ones that need to tell them. Because we know them. We've experienced salvation. Amen. It's our job. If we're going to reach our city, we're the ones that have to do it. Because we know God. We know Christ. We know what it is to be saved. It's our job, just like it was Lot's job. So, as I conclude, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We need to tell our families about Christ. We need to tell our neighbors about Christ. We need to tell those that we work with about Christ. We need to tell those that we go to school with about Christ. We need to tell everybody that God leads across our path about our Savior. And we need to do it for two reasons. This is my second sermon. Only 2 points to this one. We need to do it for two reasons. Number one, we need to do it for them. They're sinners. Bible says everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We need to do it for them because they have a soul that will never die. We need to do it for them because that soul, one day, will either go to heaven to be with God or go to hell to be apart from God forever and ever. We need to do it for them because we know how much Jesus loves them. We know that he loves them so much that while they were yet sinners, God sent his son to die in their place. We need to do it for them because they need to hear that if they'll come to Christ and receive the gift that God purchased for them on Calvary through the death of his son, God would save them from the penalty of sin. Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We need to do it for them because they need to hear the gospel. We need to do it for them because they need to become a child of God. They need a way to get to heaven. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. We need to do it for them because they're dying. They're on their way to hell. They have no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've experienced salvation. We know what it's all about. We need to tell them about Jesus for their sake. Amen. And then number two, we need to do it for our sake. You say, preacher, we're already saved. What's for our sake? That's why we were made. That's why God has left us here. Look, if God didn't have anybody else for us to reach, he would take us to heaven. He would take us out of this mess. He wouldn't leave us here. The fact that we're still here, the fact that we're still breathing God's air and walking on God's earth and enjoying the bounty that God has bestowed on us is because he has somebody else that needs to hear about Jesus, and he made you and I to tell them about Christ. Amen. It's our job. That's why we're here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. And that good work is to witness for our Savior. So, again, as I close, I ask the question, what are you going to do? Lot was just living his life. Everything was peachy king, thought, or so he thought, until those two men walked into the gates of Sodom. And then his world fell apart. In just a matter of hours, his life changed completely because the judgment of God fell on that city. Same thing can happen to us. Our life can change in a moment. In a moment, we could lose the opportunities that we have to tell those that we love in our family, and tell those that live around us, and tell those that we work with, and tell those that we go to school with, and tell those that come across our path. In a matter of moments, we could lose the opportunity that God made us for. And if we're going to do it, we need to do it now. It's our job. It's not somebody else's job. It's our job. It's our job. That's why Jesus told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. And we need to be the one that tells them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins on Calvary. Thank you for making us part of your family when we came and received him. You made us part of your family. You made us one of your sons. I pray for those that might be in this room this morning that have never made that decision. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you help them see they're a sinner? They're under the judgment of God for that sin. And one day that judgment is going to separate them from God, as it already has, but it's going to separate them from God for all eternity. And the only hope that they have is what Jesus did for them on Calvary's cross. He bore their sin. He paid the price. And he offers to that one that might be here this morning that's never received Christ, he offers to that one the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict that person this morning of their sin, and you would show them the Savior. In just a moment, you would help them to make that decision to receive Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for all the Christians that are here. Help us realize that what you've asked us to do is reasonable. It's our reasonable service. It's our job. We're the ones that need to do it, and we need to do it today. So, Father, help us to be busy. Help us to be on the lookout for people you bring across our path that need the Savior, and help us to give the reason for our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to do what you lead us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.